When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yep.
I know this one.
I got nice skin here with me.
Yeah, what?
This ain't a diss song. But, you know what it is.
It's the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
What's up?
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow.
You know that one, right, Mace?
Oh, I love this song.
Yeah. You know, Lil Wayne from New Orleans.
Yeah, he is, yes.
So, you know, it's a
cooking bit, on a hot plate.
I'm stealing producer Tommy's line. It's the best of both worlds. He's from New Orleans. He's rapping about the Packers.
Man, we should let's have Lil Wayne on next week after the game just to
We should to have recap. Lil Wayne on.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I bet he's gonna watch it. So we are the Mason Crosby Show right here on at 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. And joining the show now, New Orleans Saints sideline reporter and reporter teammate of ours with Odyssey, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I always try to tell people, like, guys, you need to understand Lil Wayne is actually a Packers fan, but everyone forgets. And then he tweets, go Pack, go, at the beginning of every Saints-Packers game. Everyone freaks out. I'm like, guys, I tried to warn anyway. Yeah.
I'm glad exactly.
You warned them. You warned them, Jeff. They should have known better.
Everyone should know Lil Wayne is a Packers fan, and he's I think, written two songs for our Packers. So, he loves our Packers teams. And being a New Orleans guy, though, we appreciate you having coming on and talking all things Packers. Man, y'all have some injuries. Y'all are depleted down there with the Saints. Like, from your perspective, what pieces, what do they need to do to try to, come up here to Green Bay and compete this weekend, or I guess on Monday night?
That's a good question. It's funny because normally I'd be like, oh, gosh, a snow game, that would be a nightmare. I actually think a snow game, an ugly game, would balance the scales a little bit. Like, if this game is played at a pretty level, right, if this game was played in the dome with both teams operating kind of at their peak efficiency, the Packers would probably win this game by 30. I think the Saints' only chance in this game is kind of make it ugly, run the ball, maybe force a couple turnovers. And so maybe some bad weather would help. I don't know. Because, like you said, you're talking about a team that already doesn't have its top two wide receivers and Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. The top two cornerbacks they went into the season with, Marshon Lattimore, he's now on the Commanders. We saw him last week. And Paulson Adebo broke his femur. He's on IR, so he's done. So you have two backup cornerbacks. Starting quarterback Derek Carr has a fractured left hand. He's in the concussion protocol, but it sounds like the hand is really the issue right now. They're not ruling him out, but very unlikely that he plays. Alvin Kamara is dealing with a groin injury. We learned yesterday that it was more significant than they initially thought, so very unlikely he plays. So you're looking at a backup running back. The one thing you can say is all five starting offensive linemen are healthy, so you have that. But, it's not.
Hey, that's important.
It's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, and then y'all added, I think, the Chiefs running back that they released, Edwards-Helaire, right?
Yep.
So probably, I'm sure they're trying to get him into the fold to run. Yeah, the Packers, though, this year are playing a kind of an old-school brand of football, success that hopefully for our Packers fans and the Packers side that can carry them through December into the playoffs. Obviously, wherever they might go and play, not always, you know, might not be tough conditions, but they are playing a brand of football, running the ball, things like that. What on the Saints defensive side do you think they need to? Obviously, they need to try to stop Josh Jacobs, but do you think they have the ability to slow him down to try to keep keep them in the game with how much their offense is depleted down there in New Orleans?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's been it's been interesting because you look at the Saints' run defense, and it's been really, really rough at points of the season. But a lot of the time you can point to the other side of the ball and say, okay, what were the games that you really struggled to stop the run in? And they were usually the games that the Saints offense could not sustain anything and left the defense on the field the entire game. And when you allow a guy like Josh Jacobs to lean on you for three quarters, that dam's going to break eventually. And that's what I'm worried about happening in this game. When you go back and look at the three starts that Spencer Rattler made, because he'd be the starter if Derek Carr can't go, when you look at the three starts he made, I mean, that was the story of those games, right? Like, the defense did its best. But when you're not, you know, when you're talking about 3 9-point in the entire football game, you know, 12 first downs maybe the entire game, you're not going to be able to stop any running game because if they give them enough shots at it, you're going to break down eventually. So, I mean, I think that's kind of what it is. If you can sustain offense for the Saints and you can actually have time of possession, I mean, you look at that Commanders game, right? Look at the time of possession in that Commanders game. It was 40-20. The Commanders had 2-1. Time of possession in that game, and the Saints actually had a chance to win it against all odds.
Right.
But I think that's going to be the story of this game. If the Packers dominate time of possession and they exhaust the Saints defense, I don't know how much will there's going to be in a season where you're basically out of it to go up and play in 20 degrees, you know, and you know, if the offense just continues to go three and out. I don't think this is the type of team that's going to fold, just generally speaking. Like, you're always going to have effort there. But there's going to be a question of motivation at a certain point in that game if, you know, it's 21-0 in the third quarter and Josh Jacobs is going downhill. And I could see him going off in this game for 200-something, three touchdowns, something like that, under certain circumstances, especially if throwing the ball becomes an issue with the weather. So, now, I mean, sure. I think that's going to be a problem for the Saints. It's been a problem for the Saints all year. They just don't have true run-stuffing defensive tackles. Brian Brzee is a really good young defensive tackle, but he's more of a pass rush guy at this point in his career. Saints defensive tackles way too much this season have just been moved off the line. And that's what you're going to see. If Josh Jacobs is going off, it's going to be watch where the defensive tackles are when they're trying to hit Josh Jacobs for the first time. Because way too much of the season for the Saints, it's been like 3, 4, 5 yards downfield.
And that's what, yeah, Josh Jacobs, I was talking earlier this week, it almost feels at times like an old school wedge running game where it's like you kind of have your guards going in. Josh just like slides in between like either center and guard or guard and tackle. He'll engage contact, but then just kind of slip through, get 6, 8 yards. It doesn't look like it's just always wide open running scheme, but it's he finds a way on contact to kind of slide and get a little bit more. And that's where Josh has been just awesome for this Packers team. We've been talking these last 2 weeks. I mean, he is carrying the ball more than Jordan is, you know, asked to throw the ball. So that does bode well for this Packers team against the Saints. A good buddy of mine, former teammate Lucas Patrick, is on that Saints offensive line. He has talked to me a little bit about, obviously he was with the Packers, with the Bears, now with the Saints, and he's just like, I really love this Saints team, the players in the locker room, his teammates, kind of how they're trying to do things. It just hasn't really worked out for him this year. Kind of from your perspective and your experience, like, do you think that Saints team has what it takes to kind of reload and regroup for next season? And do they have some of the pieces in place that that they can? And you know, where do they need to go to kind of be competitive again in this in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question because I think a lot of fans would just look at it and say, okay, tear it all down and start from scratch. But what does that mean, really? Right? Like, you can't. You know, you have to field the team. You have contracts. You can't just cut guys. So that has to be part of the equation. Is like, you can't just say, yeah, okay, we're going to give up on this group, move on to a new group. You have to somehow pull, okay, what are the core pieces? Who do you build around? Who do you move on from and go from there? The bigger question to me is, what do you do at the head coach spot?
Yeah.
Right. And there's been some, you know, Darren Rizzi came out yesterday, kind of, you know, I think there's been some questions of, okay, why is he sticking with Derek Carr, or at least kind of pushing for this idea that when Derek's healthy enough, he can play. And to me, it's like, okay, he's an accountability guy. He says that about himself all the time. And I think that's kind of what he's sold to the players, and it's what the players have bought into. So when you see a guy, you know, the highest paid player on your team dealing with a broken hand and still wanting to get in, even though it's kind of meaningless games, you can't just say, like, ah, go sit down. We don't care about you. No, you have to support that idea. If you want everyone on your roster to feel like, hey, if I can go, I'm going to go. I'm going to play to win. That's kind of where he's at. And so one of the reasons I think Darren is so kind of hardline on this idea of, like, hey, if Derek can play, he can play. Because if I'm Darren Rizzi, I see the most likely scenario where I keep this job is we want to give Clint Kubiak one more season to see if maybe this offense has something to do, has something in it. And if that's the case, you'd stick with Derek Carr for one more year. And if you're going to do those two things, you might just stick with Darren Rizzi, because you don't want to bring in a new head coach and say, well, you're going to keep this offensive coordinator and this quarterback, when, you know, it's like, I want my own guy. Why? I'm not going to take this job and then have everything dictated to me in terms of how I can succeed. So, you know, that's kind of the question to me is this the group on offense that you want to run back? The defense, I think you could look at and say, hey, you got Demario Davis, Tyrann Mathieu, Cam Jordan. You can move on from all those guys in terms of they're all aging veterans and feel like, hey, we can get younger on defense. If you want to keep this offense together, that becomes a lot more complicated. So to me, that's the question. And I do think the offensive line is a group that you could build on. You know, it's got some young players there. You've got two first-round draft picks in Trevor Penning and Talia Tuaga, the left tackle. The rookie has played really well. Eric McCoy is a really good player. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed are two good young wide receivers. You re-signed Alvin Kamara, so you're sticking with him for another year. Kendra Miller, a guy you're going to get a good look at this week, is an intriguing young player if he can stay on the field. So to me, that's the question. Is this offense something that you want to continue rolling out
there? Makes sense.
And that'll dictate a lot of what you do from the top down.
Well, that's you obviously talked about Coach Rizzi down there, great special teams coordinator, really kind of gave the team some juice whenever he took over as the interim head coach, had some really big impactful moments on special teams. That is a factor that, if weather is, you know, a factor on Monday nights, if it's cold, you know, ball handling on special teams, you know, field goals, as the weather, you know, deteriorates, can you get pressure, block a kick, do things like that? I'm sure he's going to be leaning into his special teams and his expertise in that to try to make a difference in this game against the Packers.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. I was talking yesterday about how they, you know, they've been putting the footballs in the freezer and pulling them out and just having to use them really quick, because you don't want them to thaw out, because that's something that, you know, y'all know this, it gets cold and the balls get hard and that kicking.
Oh, yeah, they're slick and dry. Yeah, it's nasty.
Right. And so, and you know, the Blake Groupie, the Saints kicker, has only missed twice from outside 50 all year. It's been both of them were up in New York. One was a 60-yarder they really didn't have a chance on. The other one was a 53-yarder. And so I don't think, you know, I don't know how much you trust Blake in that environment. One of the more egregious misses of his career to this point was up in Green Bay last year on a kick that would have given the Saints the lead in the final minute. I think it was something like 47, 48 yards. So I think there's going to be a question there of, can you kick a field goal or at least something outside of like 40 yards? And I think that, you know, it's funny. I think from a kickoff, kick coverage, punt coverage, that's part of the game. I think you're going to see Rizzi kind of lean into it. He's been aggressive on fakes to this point. He's already called three of them since taking over. but I think on offense in general, you're going to see them get aggressive. You know, this is a team that both of Darren's losses have come down to one final drive down 7 points. And in both instances, he said, hey, I'm going to go for two. You never got that situation with the Rams because they ended up, failing on fourth down deep in the red zone, but they would have gone for two. Last week, exact same situation. They scored the touchdown. They would have gone for two. You've seen them get very aggressive in fourth down situations. So, you know, when you're a team like the Saints right now and you're in that situation, what do you have to lose, right? Like, you're not going to see any, kind of low percentage, you know, analytics angry field goal attempts, if that makes sense. Like, you're not going to be like, the analytics say go, but I'm going to kick because I want to play it safe. I don't think you're going to see that with Darren, because I think he knows, like, hey, I need to put a quality win up on the board to really kind of state my claim of, hey, I should get this job. And right now he doesn't have that. You do have three wins. You know, you beat the Falcons, you beat the Browns, you beat the Giants. Nothing, especially with what the Falcons have done lately, nothing's jumping off the page there. So I think he probably needs – this would be a big win. You almost got it last week over the Commanders. He fell short. So I think he kind of understands it. Like, this team needs to go out there and prove something for a lot of people to keep their jobs, not just him.
Yeah, for sure. So we're here talking with Jeff Nowak, the sideline reporter for the Saints, and this is the Mason Crosby Show on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by Pottawatomie Sportsbook. I was thinking, we're talking about the Jets and how they're going about trying to find their new head coach and all of that. Like, how do you think this Saints organization will go and look at who will they get to replace the head coach? Obviously, they're going to really look seriously at Rizzi in-house, all of that stuff. But do they hire a firm? Do they do the whole executive hire situation? Or do they have people in place and either through the ownership or pieces within the organization where they will go and try to find that next head coach? Do you know what their process will look like that down there with the Saints?
Yeah, it's tough because we haven't really seen this process, specifically this process, play out. Because when Sean left, it was kind of, okay, you know, sudden and late in the game. And so you kind of just had to react. You didn't have time to plan for anything ahead of the game because you were, like, up until 2 days before I don't even know if you can call it retired anymore, walked away, they weren't sure whether he was going to leave or not, right? So that was kind of a weird scenario. They did go through an entire search. It wasn't like they just said, hey, Dennis Allen, come on, it's your job. You know, it wasn't like a succession plan. They did an entire job interview process. Darren Rizzi was one of the guys they interviewed in that period of time. So they do have a good understanding of, you know, what his goals, what his ideas are as a head coach. And you're seeing that now. One thing that I do know is they're not going to really go into that process until the offseason gets here. And Mickey has been stringent on that. Like, that's something that they've said in the past when it's like, hey, we're not going to, you know, our offensive coordinator, right? Like, they waited until way into the process last year, and it turned out, okay, one of the reasons was they wanted to go after Clint Kubiak, and he was coaching all the way up into the Super Bowl with the 49ers, so that took a while. I don't think they're going to hire an outside firm. I think they're going to keep it in-house. I do think it's also going to be a long process. Like, I would not expect the Saints to be the first team to hire a head coach. I think it's more likely they're the last team to hire a head coach. Okay. And that's going to be – my question is going to be, does their current situation in terms of the cap, in terms of the roster, in terms of a lot of these contracts that they're kind of stuck with, does that impact the candidates that you might be pulling in? Are you going to be able to get one of these top-flight candidates that you want, or are you going to be knocked off their list because you're kind of in a messy situation? And does that, and would you actually benefit from giving the interim another trial year and cleaning stuff up and saying, hey, if you succeed without anything, any help whatsoever in terms of, like, big contracts, guys coming in as free agents, you know, we're going to eat a lot of these cap hits. If you can succeed under those circumstances, we found a great head coach. If you can't, maybe we run this back next year. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up there. But one way or another, I think that this is going to be a long process in the offseason, and I think it's going to be primarily the people in the building that handle it.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Switching gears just real quickly, how disappointing has the season been for the Pelicans?
Oh, man.
not to pile on the injuries, but when you got Zion and Ingram and McCollum and Trey Murphy and Deontay Murray, all potential all-stars, I mean, all guys who are really good, and nobody can stay on the court.
Well, that's one thing. The problem is now you're actually getting some of these guys back healthy and you're still losing. And I think you're in the scenario now that you never want to get into, which, you know, you have talent. You have the talent that can go win games. Obviously, Zion hasn't played. But you've trained a roster how to lose, right? And you can go around the NFL. You can go around any sport. Once a team gets trained to lose, it's really hard to get out of that cycle. And most of the time, it's going to end in a head coach firing. And I don't see this season turning around for them. And the question becomes, does Willie Green survive this?
Right.
And it really is a bummer because I thought this roster that they had assembled had a chance to be really good. And, you know, it started in week one of the season, you know, or week one, I'm in football mode. In game one of the season, DeJounte, they beat the Bulls. It's a really good game. You know, it's competitive. DeJounte Murray looks exactly like the guy that you brought in. Breaks his hand. in that game. And from there, everything kind of spiraled. Zion had his kind of mysterious hamstring injury. He gets one of those every year. And he's still not back. So, no, I mean, it's brutal. And, you know, it's always depressing when you have a bad football season. And usually by the time it ends, you can be like, well, at least we got like the rest of the Pelican season to kind of be like, oh, maybe they have a shot.
Not this year. No.
I mean, like, I don't think you can even come back from 5-23.
Like, 23.
Yeah, like you're done basically.
Like the Bucks the Bucks were 2-8, and we were panicking about the Bucks, and then they win, you know, 12 out of 15. If the Pelicans won 12 out of 15, they're still 17-28.
Right.
Like they're still 11 games under. Ugh.
It's virtually impossible to turn around from there, and that's why, you know, it's disappointing because, you know, when Zion era began, I remember there was a line around the block for an open practice, and it felt like everything was primed for the Pelicans to really kind of take ownership of New Orleans and turn it into more of a basketball city than it is.
Sure.
And it just never launched. It blew up on the pad, right? Like, and from that point on, it's just been, you know, kind of halfway here, halfway there. Willie Green had, you know, kind of brought them closer and closer to where you'd want to be, and then kind of fell off a cliff. So I don't know if you rebuild completely. I don't know if you just if you say, hey, the injuries were just way too much, and we're not going to allow that to completely destroy what we think is a good core of players. I don't know. It's tough, but either way, I mean, you're more likely to get the number one overall pick right now than get into the postseason.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's correct. Well, we will wish happy sports thoughts for you down in New Orleans, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, hey, Jeff, the weather, right? We got the weather.
Exactly. You got the weather. Yeah, but, you know, I know that that Saints, those dome teams, probably not super excited to come up to play in Green Bay with that weather, even though the trip to Lambeau is always a fun one. And, you know, I hope they get things sorted out. And I'm rooting for Rizzi to be their head coach down there next year. I really like what he's about, and I think he could take that team to a good spot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I like Riz a lot. I think it's just going to be a hard sell for Saints fans who have watched this kind of spiral and spiral and spiral. And I think they just want a fresh start. Like, I think they kind of want to move on from the Sean Payton era. And going with Rizzi would just be another half measure, I think. I agree with you. I like Rizzi. I think that he is kind of a breath of fresh air from how he approaches things. And we'll have to see.
All right.
Jeff, thank you so much.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Jeff.
Thanks, y'all. All right.
Have a good one.
All right. That's Jeff Nowak. He is the sideline reporter for the New Orleans Saints, and obviously could talk some New Orleans Pelicans, all sorts of New Orleans sports, and not a happy season for New Orleans fan.
No, yeah, it seems like the New Orleans sports scene is down right now. They are,
unfortunately,
they are down. They're licking their wounds. They're trying to find those answers. Yep. Ugh. It's tough.
I want to remind everybody coming up today on Wisconsin Sports Daily, Sparky's going to be talking, speaking of New Orleans, guys, Sparky's going to be talking to Bobby Hebert this afternoon at 2:40, former Saints quarterback, now a member of the media down there in New Orleans. So he'll be doing that at 2:40 today. And then at 3:20, George Kuntz. I don't know if he's a Packer Hall of Famer. If he's not, he probably will be one day. I know he's had a number of different positions with Marquette and UWM, just like all about man about town. George Kuntz, former great linebacker with our Green Bay Packers at 3:20. All that on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the
Wendy's.
Fan. Wendy's salted caramel frosty, by the way, delicious.
Oh, it's on TV. It was on TV right
was
now.
Was it? Oh my gosh, no. I didn't even plan that.
I haven't tried it, but
it is. It's actually.
Is it overwhelming?
It is
like,
a little,
I feel like it's too much.
It's a little overwhelming because it's a little more butterscotchy than you think.
Yeah, so too much.
If you like, my father-in-law's in love with butterscotch, and he's mad that caramel is like so popular and butterscotch got left behind. So I told him, I said to him, Josh, you got to try the salted caramel frosty because it is like a butterscotch frosty, and it is delicious.
One of my favorite things on TV is when it's Kevin Hart and LeBron, and Kevin Hart's like, you're so old, and he's like, you probably give everyone butterscotch after you win, and he's like, you take them out of your pocket with no wrapper.
Who doesn't love a Werther's?
You're nasty.
Who doesn't love a Werther's? Come on.
That's my favorite.
And then Mason realizes that LeBron James and him are the same age.
No, that's why I think it's funny, bro. Yeah, relax, exactly. Tommy. Not a good burn. Thank you.
Yeah. So speaking of not a good burn, I'm not a Kevin Hart guy. Like, I
really?
Just, yeah, I think he tries too hard.
Yeah, he's a guy who, like, screams to get
he
people
try
to
hard.
I mean, I know he's Napoleon, and I know he's
I did not
short.
Like him during the Tom Brady roast. I thought it was a little too much. Like, yeah, he just he leaned in too hard and was trying a little too hard. But stuff like that, I don't know. I'm a fan. I enjoy his movies.
Yeah, and I mean, I
him,
think...
Him and The Rock
when he's
are
just
my favorite
funny,
together.
I think he's good. When he tries too hard, I think you can tell. Like... It's like
my I'll talk about this in my extra points. Some of my my favorite movie combinations of actors.
Nice. I love that. One thing I want to put on your radar for your extra points for especially for Monday is my favorite question around the holidays is like, what's your favorite thing to eat or what are you most looking forward to eat? Let's not get into that today, but I want to throw that on your radar for Monday to start putting that out as a question
on
the Nikolay Law Fan Talking text line that people should start just like sending your recipes, sending your favorite thing. Is it like your Aunt May who makes this thing or that you get to eat once a year or something else? I just want to hear all about it. I love hearing about food. So
I love that. Yep. We'll run down our holiday treats next week.
Absolutely. He's Mason Crosby. I'm Mitch Nellis. This is the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.